Today's shiur is Masecht Beya Daf Chaf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Ches Amid Beis at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah continues discussing how one can purchase meat on Yontif, and teaches us the Mishnah, La'yoyma Adam L'tabach, a person may not say to a butcher on Yontif, Shkoli B'din Abasar, give me a dinner's worth of meat, because he's not supposed to mention money, as we've been learning, mekach u'memkar, doing business is prohibited on Yontif. Rather, what he could say is avashoychet, the butcher could shecht a behema or mechalk b'neim and divide the meat among the group of customers. The mefarshim point out the word shkol means to weigh, and we learned in the previous Mishnah that weighing is prohibited on Yontif under any circumstances. So what's this terminology of shkoil? So the Karban Sanal actually says that the word shkoil here doesn't mean to weigh. The word shkoil here means to take. Give me a certain amount of meat. However, other mafarshim say, based on something we discussed in the previous year, that there are rishonim that say that even according to the chachamim, that one may not weigh meat on Yontif, there was one way we described that may be permissible. And that is if the person just takes the meat into his hand and is able to assess how much that meat weighs, he doesn't take anything into another hand to measure against, that's permissible. Say in Mefarshim, that's the case of Shkoli, that type of weight is mutter. Mefarshim also ask, why is this Mishnah mentioned here? This din applies to Shabbos also. So why isn't this Mishnah mentioned in Masechta Shabbos? So some of Farshim explain that since this din, we've been discussing in the previous Mishnah how meat can be purchased on Yontif, so the Mishnah continues teaching us this din. Others explain that one might have thought that on Yontif, as we've been learning, since Melachos Oichel Nefesh is permissible on Yontif, perhaps the Tzairuch Yontif, one could buy meat this way too, teaches us the Mishnah that this mentioning money is never permitted even on Yontif. Another pshat that I saw is that as we will learn as we continue today's shiur, that certain types of measurements and certain types of purchases of meat may be mutter, but those dinim are only on Yontif. On Shabbos, we're obviously much more stringent. So the Mishnah teaches us this halacha Masechta Beya, where there are many more details involved. So the Mishnah taught us that if a price is not mentioned, one could purchase meat on Yontif. Says the Gemara Hechi of it. Exactly what does he do? Says the Gemara, Kehad b'Surah Amri, in Surah, when they would ask a butcher for meat, they would ask for tarta or palga tarta. These were certain cuts, standard size cuts, and there was no mention of money, and that was permissible. Similarly, in Benarish Amri, Chilka or palga Chilka, Pabdisa Amri, Uzya or palga Uzya, Benapkad or Bemas Machasya Amri, River or palga River, all different types of cuts that were used in each one of these locations, which are permitted to be said on Yontif. Continues the Mishnah, Oim Adam L'chaveroi, a person can tell his friend on Yontif, Malei li klezeh, fill up this vessel for me with a certain product, even if it's a measuring cup. Avalei b'midah, using a measure in asking for something is prohibited on Yontif. Yehudaima, ima yikli shel midah, if it's a measuring cup, lo yimalalena, a measuring cup may not be used on Yontif, even if the exact measure is not being mentioned. Continues the Mishnah, ma'isa b'avishol b'botnes, shahoy m'mala b'doysa mer of Yontif, he would fill all his measures before Yontif, because he didn't want to use a measuring cup under any circumstances on Yontif, and he knew people would come to Manyanta perhaps to obtain different types of items. So what he did was he prepared measuring cups, different size measuring cups of different items before Yontif, not to do any type of measuring on Yontif. And then Noistan Lakuchas Yontif would give it to the customers on Yontif. Furthermore, Abishalimer asked Bemaira Sakane. Even during Chalmoid, he would do this. And as the Mefarshim explained, based on what we're going to learn soon in the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem, Abishol was careful of Neburure Hamidos. When one sells wine and he pours it from the barrel into the person's jar who's picking up the wine, there's a foam that forms on the top of the wine, which is not part of the wine, which is not wine that's being sold. Given that on Chalamoid there wasn't much time available, so usually when Avishol would sell somebody wine, what he would do was that he would be careful that he should let the foam subside and then fill it up to the top with wine. However, on Chalamoid, when there's no time for this to take place, so what he did was he used to prepare at the night before different size of wine jars, with making sure that all the foam was gone, and therefore Chas v'Shalom not cheat somebody on Yontif. V'chamayimim apacholosikim, even on a weekday, not cholamayit, he would do this. Neimitzi hamidus, when liquids are poured into a cup, specifically certain liquids which are clingy, like oil, for example, they don't come out all the way. So what Abishol did was, Abishol ben Botnis, what he do was, he would allow the oil to drip out of his container into the customer's containers overnight to make sure that they receive their complete measure. Says the Gemara, Avaloi b'mida, that we learned in the Mishnah, but not with a measure. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Avaloi b'kliya miyuchad l'mida. Even the Tanakhama will agree, says Rav Yehuda Mishmul, that one may not use a measuring cup. And only a vessel that's used as a reserve for a measuring cup, that the Tanakhama will be allowed to use. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rambam explains the Gemara that what the Gemara means, Avakliha Oimid Lamida, means that on a measuring cup we have the different markings on the side. On a full-fledged measuring cup, they're all perfectly prepared and aligned and measured. On this keli, since it's not yet prepared, so the measure, the different markings on the side aren't yet exact, and that Tanakhama holds may be used. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Vas Rav Yehuda lemeimer, and Rav Yehuda says, afilu kli ha'omid lemida, even such a backup, reserve type of measuring cup, lo yemelena, may not be used. Alma, so when we learn this Mishnah, gav simchas yontif, even though we're dealing with the issue of simchas yontif, making food available on yontif, Rav Yehuda obviously is l'chumr, Rav Yehuda is the machmer, v'rabbanan l'kula. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chashamina law, we learned in the previous daf, just the opposite. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Vudaimer, Shaitel Adam Basta Kenegra Kli Kenegra Kufitz. One can weigh meat against the utensil or against the meat cleaver. And as we explained, since this is not the normal way of measuring, so Yehuda is Mekel. The Chaimimim, Eim Eshgich Mekaf Maznaim Kalikr. One may not measure under any circumstances. Alma, so when we learned that Mishnah, we obviously see Rabbi Yehuda Lekul, Rabbi Yehuda is the Mekel, Rabbanan Lechum, and Rabbanan Machmirim. So Kashad Rabbi Yehuda, we have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda, Kashad Rabbanan, we have a steer in Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Loi Kashad. Hosam Bishayna Oimid Lamida. What are we using to measure? We're using a meat cleaver. We're using some sort of a keli, which is never used for measuring. That's why he's more lenient. Hacha, however, in our Gemara, we are using ba'omid lamida. We are using something which is used for measuring, and that's why he's machmer. Similarly, the Rabbanan, loikasha, the shittas of the Rabbanan can be reconciled. Hasam ka'avdun d'chol. There, they're machmer, because the person is actually measuring, he's actually weighing, even if he's not measuring in the normal fashion. However, in our Gemara, he's not measuring at all. He just happens to be using some sort of a measuring cup, and that's why the Rabbanan are making. So I saw the Sefer Mishmeres HaMoed has a very nice way of explaining this machloikis and this teretz in the Gemara. He says the machloikis between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is, do we follow the what or do we follow the why? What do I mean? Rabbi Yehuda says that on Yontif measuring is also, and therefore in our Mishnah he teaches us one may not use a measuring cup even if my goal is not to measure. However, in the previous Mishnah, since the way he's measuring is not the way measuring is done, people don't use a meat cleaver to measure, so that's why he's making. The Rabbanan say we look at the why. We look at the purpose, at the person's goal. What is he trying to accomplish? In this Mishnah, as we just finished explaining, he's not trying to measure. He happens to be using a measuring cup, but he's not trying to measure. That's why the Mekel. In the previous Mishnah, although he's not measuring, weighing in the normal manner of weighing, but he is, his goal is to weigh, and weighing is Asur Anyantif. Rav Amar, Rav has a different version of explaining the machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah. My avaloi b'mida, what does it mean that you're not allowed to use a measure? Shlo yiskal hashem mida. You're not allowed to mention a measure, you're not allowed to mention a weight when purchasing something on Yontif. Aval, according to this explanation, kli hamiyuchel l'mida, a measuring cup, yemaleno, would be allowed to be used. However, says the Ran, even though Rava has such a lenient understanding of the position of Rabbanan, they would still agree that if a customer comes and brings a measure, and the seller uses a measuring cup, and then the customer doesn't take the item purchased home in the measuring cup, rather he pours it over from the measuring cup into his own vessel, even they would agree that that is awesome. But if he's going to take the measuring cup home, the Tanakama holds its mutter. Vasa Rabbi Yehuda l'meimen, according to Rav's understanding, Rabbi Yehuda holds kli hamiyuchel l'mida lo yemalena. A specific measuring cup may not be used, but a kli that's a backup kli that the Gemara called before, a kli ha'oimid l'mida, Rabbi Yehuda will agree may be used. Alma, now the Gemara is actually a repetition of the previous Gemara. So we see as far as Simchas Yontif is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda l'chomer, Rabbi Yehuda is the machmer, Rabbanan l'kula. Ask the Gemara based on the mission of the previous staff, Vivchashaminala. We learned just the opposite of Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda oim, Rabbi Yehuda olds, Shaykal adabasa kenegra kli kenegra kupitz. A person can use a utensil or a meat cleaver to weigh on Yontif. We can't use a scale under any circumstances. Alma, from that mission we see Rabbi Yehuda l'kula v'Rabbanan l'chumra. So therefore, Kash Rabbi Yehuda, we have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Kash Rabbanan, Rabbanan, we have a steer in Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha, Hasam, v'she'enim yuchel l'mida. There we're discussing a utensil which is not made for measuring. Here we're discussing a measuring cup, something made for weighing. There they're doing a weekday activity, measuring, weighing. Says the Gemara, the Avdi Inchi, sometimes people, the Makavri Chamri Mamana Dekila, they serve wine in a measuring cup, if that's the only cup that's available to them, the shastrim they drink, and their purpose and their goal is not at all to weigh or to measure. The Mishnah then taught us, Ma'aseh b'Abishol ben Botnas, where Abishol ben Botnas prepared his all the weights, all the cups, the measuring cups full of product before Yontif, Chol HaMoed. Tana, and the Gemara elaborates on that, at b'Moed Osakein, he did this at Chol HaMoed, ne'bitl b'Beis HaMedrash, because he was busy in the Beis HaMedrash and he didn't want to spend time preparing the wine. There was no time to be able to pour the wine and make sure that all the foam was removed. As the Mefarshim explained, our Mishnah said that the reason Rabbi Yehuda did this was b'pnei berurei hamidos. But actually, the Gemara that we're learning now complements what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda would prepare the night before all these jars because he needed to have the time to make sure that all the foam subsided. So specifically in Chol HaMoed, where he was very busy in the Beis HaMedrash, many people came to speak to him and learning, ask him shailos, so he didn't have time to patiently wait for all the foam to subside, so he prepared it the night before in Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, who kana shalosh meis gav yayin? Avishol collected 300 barrels of wine, mibrur amidus, from the leftover wine because of the foam. In other words, as the Mefarshim explained, if there's 100 gallons of wine in a barrel, and he sold 100 gallons, so there should be nothing left in the barrel. If there's something left, that must be from the residual foam. And Avishol ben Batnas collected 300 such barrels of wine. So Mefarshim asks, Tosfos Rid already asks, we just finished explaining how careful Avishol ben Batnas was to make sure that this wouldn't happen. So how did he collect 300 barrels of wine? So the Tosfos Rid explains that although Avishol ben Batnas went to great lengths to prepare on Chol HaMoed at night, before all of these barrels of wine with the foam subsided, sometimes business is very good, Baruch Hashem. And the business was so successful that he hadn't prepared the night before in Chol HaMoed enough wine to anticipate all the wine that he would have to sell. So he would end up selling in Chol HaMoed wine that he couldn't take care of this foam issue, and may have had berurei hamidos, and from that he accumulated 300 barrels of wine. Micha Shlomo says a different teretz, somewhat of a simpler teretz. He says that Abishol began acting this way later in life. Earlier he did not do this pre-preparation, and from that he collected these 300 barrels of wine. The Chaverov and his colleagues, Kansu Sholosh Meis Gabri Yayin, collected 300 barrels of wine, Mimitsi Amidus, from the oil that was they left over, we explained in the Mishnah, the different types of beverages that cling to the walls. Vavim Lefnei Gizbar Mushlaim, they didn't want to keep this wine for themselves, so they brought it to the treasurers, to the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash to Yerushalayim. So the Masha asks, what were they accomplishing by doing that? If they held that they're not allowed to hold on to that, so they should have not given it to them either. So the Masha explains that they knew that certainly the owners were Miyash. Moreover, we know the halach is that when we have Yiyush and Shini Rishus, it may be transferred. So they wanted to transfer these barrels of wine, these barrels of oil, to the Rishus of Hegdish, which we would have now a situation of Yiyush and Shini Rishus, and that's how they wouldn't use it. Amalahem, however, the administrator said to them, there's no need for you to do this, because certainly the people who bought it from you were Michael. They know that this is what happens when wine and oil are purchased, and they're certainly Michael. And explains the Masha that certainly Abishol, his colleagues, knew this, but they were concerned that perhaps somebody maybe wasn't Michael properly. Other Mefarshim say they didn't want to take from something that didn't belong to them. Other Mefarshim said perhaps they sold product to Ketanim who don't have the ability to be Michael, and therefore they don't want to keep this wine. Amalhem af anu eretzenu mekach. Nevertheless, they said we don't want to keep it, as we just explained. Amalhem, so they told them, hoyvach matam alatzmechem, since you're being machmer, apidin, you're allowed to hold on to this wine and to this oil, but you're being machmon yourself. Asem hem tzarchi rabim, use it to make something for the public needs. The tanya gozel any day let me gozel, if somebody stole but doesn't know from whom he stole, yasem hem tzarchi rabim, he should use that stolen money for public needs. My ninu, what are examples of public needs? Amar Rav Chisda, Bairis, Sichis, Amarim, water holes, ditches, caves that the community can use from. And as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach explains, this halacha is not only when one steals from a rabbi. Even if one steals from an individual, but he can't locate or doesn't know from whom he stole, he doesn't want to hold on to money that doesn't belong to him, he should use it for tzarchei rabim. And the Mashal goes further to explain that even though based on this Gemara the Hegdish might have been able to take these items, Hegdish did not want to take something. They felt that if there's money that was received in such a way improperly, it's more appropriate to use the money for tzarchei rabim than to use it for Hegdish. And there's a tshuva for Moshe Feinstein around such subjects where somebody has money that he feels he received improperly and now he wants to return it. And Moshe says in the tshuva, what a person should use that money for is letzarchei rabim, something that the public can use. You know, don't just use it for tzedakah, so don't use it to buy candles for the shul. Use it, he says, to build a mikveh. And what's pshat? So he explains. He doesn't know who he got the money from, who he stole from, or whose money he has that he doesn't want to have. And it may be that that person is no longer in town. It may be that chas v'shalom, that person is no longer alive. So if somebody goes and builds or puts up a candle for it, and the person that he took the money from is not in shul that day, so he will not have accomplished anything. But if he builds, for example, a mikveh, so even if that person is no longer here, his children, his grandchildren may come back to this town and use something that is permanent, and he will have compensated the person who he took something from. However, says Rav Moshe, that if a person is donating money under this basis, that he's giving the money because he felt that he stole money from the public and now wants to return it, he should be careful, says Rav Moshe, to do this anonymously. If his whole kavana is only to do tshuva, if he's going to get honor or recognition for his donation, then it's not taken care, it's not pshat that he's paying up, so to speak, a debt. There's a similar tshuva in the Shalos HaTshuvos Chelkos Yaakov that discusses after the world war, after World War II, a person came and he says that somebody before the war had asked him to watch some money on his behalf, and he has the money, but he doesn't know if this person who left the money with him survived the war, or is he around? Does he have yarshim? What should he do? Should he just put the money away and maybe the mafkid will return, or should he use the money for tzarchei rabim? And the Chelkos Yaakov says, certainly, since there's a concern that the person might not have survived the war, using the money for tzarchei rabim will certainly be a schus for this person. This is also the basis, the Mefarshim say, for the minig that certain people have, that they leave in the tzavah, they leave in the last will and testament, money, stock of money for tzarchei rabim. Their concern, their consideration is that chas v'shalom, maybe during their lifetime they took money, they received money that they don't deserve. And as our Gemara says, that if somebody has money that he doesn't deserve, yasmehem tzarchei rabim, and like that, that will atone for them receiving money that they don't really, that they don't deserve before they come to the Olam Hamas. Says the Gemara, Adrei Rav Chisda l'Ravna Ukva. Rav Chisda guided Ravna Ukva on a walk with Darish, and he said, Lo yimda adam sairim, a person should not measure barley for yitin lefnei behemta b'yontif, and put it before his animal yontif. Avakoiduhu kav kabayim, he could scoop up a kav or two kavs of barley, v'naisin lefnei behemtoi, and place it in front of his animal, veina chashish. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that normally when one uses a measuring cup to scoop, what he does is he takes, let's say he's taking barley, as our Gemara discusses. He takes the barley out of the bag in which the barley is and puts it into the measuring cup. Here, he should take it directly with the measuring cup out of the bag. The Rif explains this Gemara differently. He says he's not allowed to use a measuring cup at all. What he's allowed to do is just estimate how much the animal needs to eat and give it to him. Vanachtem, says the Gemara, another halacha, a chef, moide tavlin v'noisno tak derosoi, can measure spices and put them into his pot, kadesh lo yidea tafshiloi, so he should not make his dish too spicy. Machloikis, Rajba and the Maga Mishnah, is this din set specifically to a nachtoim, to a professional chef? That's how the Rajba learns. The Maga Mishnah says that our Gemara is not speaking specifically to a chef. A chef is maybe more particular, but anybody on Yontif who's cooking may measure spices, because on that you have to be careful. Too much spices will ruin the dish, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah paskin. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that this din is only regarding something like spices, where too much spices can ruin the dish. When we're talking about something simpler like flour, where too much flour will not necessarily ruin the dish, says the Mishnah Berurah, there measuring may never be done. Furthermore, says the Mishnah Berurah, the measuring may only be done if a person always, when they prepare the food, measures. But if a person during the week is not so particular to use measuring cups, and now on Shabbos all of a sudden he's starting to measure, that's inappropriate. The Shaila that some Paiskim discuss is measuring, now that we're learning that measuring is usur, the Shaila is, what's the halacha regarding one taking his temperature on Yontif Shabbos? Is that called Medida? Certainly, the Shulchan Aruch says that Medida Shal Mitzvah, any Medida Shal Mitzvah, is mutter on Shabbos Yontif, and that's why some people have the minig that they measure the matzah, the maror, the wine that they used by the Seder, for example, although the Kaf HaChaim says it's preferable for one to prepare all of these measures before Yontif. But what about one taking his temperature? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that one could take his temperature. Certainly, we're not talking about a digital thermometer where there are questions of ksiva and other halachic issues. We're talking the old-fashioned mercury thermometer. He says there's no issue of bishul, of cooking the mercury, because we're never chai for bishul unless it comes to Yatz Ledespoy. Yatz Ledespoy is about 120 degrees. Certainly, Chas V'Shalom, nobody has that type of temperature. The question is a shail of Medida. And he explains, since as we've been learning, the reason why Chazal prohibited Medida is because it's similar to Mekach HaMemkar. Measuring one's temperature is certainly not Mekach HaMemkar. It's not in any way similar to commerce, and that's why it's mutter. Ramosha has a different reason why he allows one to take his temperature. He says that usually when one measures or weighs an item, he's looking for a certain amount. I come to the store, I want to buy a pound of an item, I want to buy a gallon of an item, and we want to measure to make sure I got the pound, I got the gallon. Here, we're not looking for any specific measure, for any specific temperature. We just want to know what is this person's temperature. And that is not called Medida, says Ramosha. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchosai also discusses that when one puts on the water in his home, the water meter starts to run. Why is that not called Medida? So again, he says, that's not Mekach HaMemkar. Mekach HaMemkar, when one measures, so there's a transaction between two individuals, and they're measuring to make sure that the amount that's required is received or is used. Here, I'm just turning on the water. The fact that the meter goes on is not called measuring. Amar Rav Yimri Ba'Abba, Amar Rav. Maidadas isha kamach b'yontif. A woman can measure the flour in yontif. For nesanis l'toichi sosoi and put it into her dough. Kidei she titel challah bein yofa, so she will take off the right amount of challah. As Tosfos explains on the Beis, our Gemara is speaking about Zman Chazal, where there was an exact shear for the amount of challah taken. It was 1/24th. And here we have a woman who's not sure that she's taking off the right amount, how much flour is in the dough, that she should take off the proper amount of challah. We therefore, says Rav, allow her to measure the flour that she should take the right amount of challah. Nowadays, says Tosfos, when we take off only a minimal amount of challah and burn it, we're not allowed to measure the flour exactly, because there's no specific din that we have to take a specific amount of challah. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says it's Asr. Ask the Gemara, V'atana debe Shmuel Mutar. We learned in a Brisa, Shmuel, as Rashi explains, collected different Brises, and those Brises indicated that it's Mutar. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Hash to Dam Shmuel Asr. If Shmuel says that it's prohibited, V'atana debe Shmuel Mutar, but in the Brises that Shmuel collected, it seems to be that the Aloch is that doing such an action is Mutar. Shmuel Aloch Asr L'maisa. We have to say that Shmuel is teaching us practical halacha. So the way Rashi and Tosfos explain is that Shmuel actually holds that it's also to do this on Yontif. However, says, and certainly we don't tell anybody that they could do this on Yontif. However, if we see someone measuring the flour, we don't stop him, because the halacha is actually as Rav, or the Braisa taught us, the Braisa that Shmuel collected, that it's Mutter. That's Tosfos's and Rashi's Pshat and Tosfos's first Pshat. But then Tosfos quotes a Pshat from the Behag, where he says that Shmuel himself actually held that it's Osir. Rav held that it's Mutter, and the Braises that Shmuel collected also seem to indicate that it's Mutter. It says Tosfos that even though throughout Shas we have a rule, Bisuri, when we're dealing with a shail of Issa v'Heter, we paskin like Shmuel. Here, since we have both Rav and the Brises that Shmuel collected indicating that it's Mutter, the loch is that it's Mutter. Now the Gemara speaks about sifting flour on Yontif. Taner Abonin, ain't shining kemach b'yontif. We're not allowed to re-sift flour on Yontif. That means sifting itself is certainly usur. The discussion here is about shoinin, re-sifting the flour. Why is sifting flour usur? So it's machlokes Rashi and other Rishonim. Rashi says that even though sifting flour is oichel nefesh, as Rashi has taught us, oichel nefesh that could be done before yontif is not allowed to be done in yontif. So the flour should have been sifted before yontif. It certainly doesn't affect the quality of flour if it's sifted before yontif, and therefore it should be sifted before yontif. Re-sifting the flour is the discussion, in other words, we will learn if it's mutter or not. The other Rishonim's approach to the Gemara, however, is different. It goes back to something we discussed based on a Tosfos at the beginning of the Masecht on Daf Gimel, that although, as we learned in the previous year, Oichel Nefesh is Mutter and Yontif, not all Malachis from the Lamates Malachis that are also on Shabbos are Mutter for Oichel Nefesh. Tosfos teaches us only from Lish of Eilich, only from the Malacha listed in Masechta Shabbos, in Parakla Gadol, in the Lamates Malachis, only from the Malacha of Lisha and on. Here, sifting is a Malacha that's listed earlier, and therefore it's usur. However, the Chazal teach us that even re-sifting, ain't shining kemach b'yontif, even re-sifting flour may not be done in yontif. V'shem Rav Papayas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Amru, shining we may re-sift. V'shoven, and everybody agrees, shem nofel toichen tzror akisim, that if a pebble or a splinter flour fell into the flour, certainly, and it's already sifted flour, shoshoinen, we can re-sift it. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, when resifting takes place, one should be careful that the sieve that he uses should be the same size as the sieve that was used for the original sifting. If the sieve that's used for the resifting has smaller holes, that would be considered an original act of sifting, which is certainly awesome. Tana Tanaka made Ravina. Ain't shining kind of a yontif. We're not allowed to resift flour in yontif. Avil nafra tzror kisim. The pebble or splinter fell into it on yontif. Bar biyadai, he could pick it out with his hand. Asks Ravina Amalei Koshkein Dasser. Bayer should be worse than sifting. Dav like a bayer. Bayer is a full fledged malacha. Resifting, as we've been describing, is not really a malacha because it's not because the flour has already been sifted, and therefore it should be aser. The Paiskim discuss what's the halacha regarding sifting flour bezmanenu nowadays, where people, many people, sift flour that they purchase to make sure that there's no infestation. So the Paiskim say, since the flour generally doesn't have infestation, and moreover, as we said before, the sifters that we have in our homes are certainly not as fine and not as sophisticated as the sifters that are found in the mills where they prepare the flour, one under such circumstances can re-sift flour on yontif. Preferably, it should be done with a shinui. And the Gemara will discuss that now. Dorosh Rava Barafuna Zuta Apeskin in the Dor, Shani Kemach Biyontif. We could resift flour on yontif. Amalei Rav Nachman, Puka Amalei La'aba, go tell my friend, Shkula Tavascha, Vishadei Achizri. Take your kindness and throw it in the thorns. Pukhazi, Kamamu Losa Hadra Menado. Look how many sifters are already circulating to resift flour in Adar. In other words, what you're saying is already well known, and there's nothing new in what you're teaching us. Says the Gemara, the Visa of Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef, Nala Kimcha would resift flour, Agaba de Melosa, on the back of the sieve. In other words, she would do it with a shinui. Amalei, so Rav Yosef told her, Chazor danor rift amal yisabina. I don't want you to do it with a shinui. I want you to resift the flour in the normal fashion, because I want to have good bread. And if you're going to do it with a shinui, the resifting may not be that effective. The Bisad Rav Ashi, now Lakimcha, the wife of Rav Ashi, would resift flour, Agaba de Saira, on the other side of the table. So the Machloikis Rashi and Taisvis, how to understand Agaba de Saira. Rashi understands that the way their tables were made was that they had in the table some sort of a depression, that whenever they would sift something, that's where the item they were sifting would fall into. And on Yontif, when they did this resifting, they would turn over the table on the side that doesn't have a depression. Tysus, however, learns that normally when one would sift, he would sift into something, into a receptacle, into a bowl, or something that was a receptacle into which they could sift. On Yontif, the shinui was that they resifted on the flat table. Amar Vashi, Hadadon, my wife is Batad Rami Bachama, is the daughter of Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama Marda of the Hu. Rami Bachama was very meticulous. Vilav the Chazma Bei Nasha. If not that she saw in her father's home, Lav the Avda, she wouldn't do this, and I'm going to follow what her father did and what she saw in her parents' home. Tosfos discusses that our Gemara says here that resifting is mutter only with a shinui. The Gemara quoted these various stories where resifting was done with a shinui. And Tosfos asks, what about sifting in the first place? Is that mutter with a shinui or not? Tosfos says that if you're sifting for the first time, you should have two conditions to make it mutter. One, it should be done by a goy, and it should also be done with a shinui. However, other paiskim are more machmer, and they say that the first time sifting should never be done, and yet there are others that makel, and they say that this shinui that's being done in our Gemara is even though it's not being done in the normal fashion, it really doesn't affect the quality of the sifting. However, if there's a shinui done that affects the quality of sifting, that the sifting will not be as fine as it's normal, as it normally is, then even original shifting, sifting may be done on Yom Tov. Teaches us the Mishnah. A person can go to a storekeeper with whom he's familiar. And Taisa says it doesn't have to necessarily be a Jew. It could also be a guy. And say to him, give me a specific amount of eggs or nuts. This is the normal manner of a private person to count off items in his home. Since this is the normal way that when a person receives such items, he counts them off, it doesn't look like mekach or memkar, and therefore is permitted on Yom Tov. Tan Rabbanan. A person can go to a shepherd with whom he's familiar. Give me one goat or one sheep. He can go to a butcher with whom he's familiar. Give me one shoulder or one thigh. It's a patamaragatzloy. He can go to somebody who fattens poultry. Give me one dove or gazlachod or one pigeon. It's a nechtamaragatzloy. He can go to a baker with whom he's familiar. Give me one loaf or one roll. Or he could go to a storekeeper with whom he's familiar. 20 eggs, 50 nuts. 10 peaches. 5 pomegranates. 1 All this is permitted as long as he does not mention the measurement. That means he can't say, give me a pound or a gallon of something. It's permitted if he doesn't mention the price, as we learned at the beginning of this year, that he's not allowed to mention price when purchasing something on Yom Tov. The Rishayim discuss that here we're saying that under certain circumstances we're allowed to purchase items from a storekeeper on Yom Tov. Question is, how and what can we buy from a guy? The Rishonim discuss, can one buy from a guy bread that was baked on Yom Tov? The Bahag says that we may not buy bread baked from them on Yom Tov, because we have to be concerned that perhaps he ground the flour on Yom Tov. And as we learned at the beginning of our parak, that anything that might have been connected to the ground at the beginning of Yom Tov, we have to be concerned that the guy ground the flour, and since we're not allowed to grind on Yom Tov, we can't buy such bread on Yom Tov. However, many Rishonim disagree, the Meiri, the Rosh, they disagree that if we don't know that the guy specifically prepared the bread for a Jew, if he prepared it for a guy, we could be more makel. But of course, we have to make some Rishonim say that we should ascertain as much as we can to make sure that the bread was prepared in a way that was permissible on Yom Tov, the flour wasn't ground. Many Paiskim say that nowadays we don't have to be concerned that the guy ground the flour, because people don't grind their own flour, and therefore we can assume that if there was nothing obvious that was done that we're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, we could buy such bread on Yom Tov. Hanu lachin sodden, hanu lachin sodden, hanu lachin sodden.